Matthew 21. This is Easter part one of your lessons. Next week we'll be doing the resurrection, but today we're going to go from the triumphant entry into Jerusalem to his burial. In Matthew 21, and it says, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied in the colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and the colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into the city, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey, basically, and it's colt. Turn to Zechariah 9:9. I'm trying to remember, I think there's over 30 distinct prophecies talking about just his entry, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. But in Zechariah, okay, that's right near the end of the Old Testament, chapter 9, this is the reference it's making. When he said that it referred to the prophet, it says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. So you turn around, and this was prophesied back in Zechariah. And I also want you to turn to Isaiah 62. Prophet Isaiah, chapter 62. Look at verses 10 and 11. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out of the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord proclaim unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. So you have prophecies that are going to go with this. And you see, the thing you notice with Jesus coming in, and the Jews didn't accept him, as they were looking for their Messiah. They're looking for their coming king. They were looking for someone who was going to free them from the tyranny of Rome and all the different nations at one time or another that had defeated them and made them serve them. So they're looking for their liberty. And so they rejected, they didn't understand the humility that Christ would come in. And so many times, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Okay, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. See, I want you to understand, they didn't understand the difference between the first advent and the second advent, the first coming and the second coming. I want you to know, so many Christians, they don't understand it in their own lives. And what I mean by this is, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Too many Christians, they get angry because they make a demand of God, and when it's not fulfilled, and I'm talking saved people, and they have something come up in their life and they try to demand it of God. God, if you're God, you need to take care of this. And when it doesn't happen in their time frame or their timetable, they get angry with him and don't understand even how to approach him. Now, are we going to be glorified one day? Yes. Absent in the body, present with the Lord. If you don't die before the rapture, you're going up. You're going to get a body, glorious body like unto his body, and you're going to be glorified. You're going to be in a position where your body will be worthy of being in heaven with you. It says, we'll receive a body fashioned like unto Jesus' glorious body. His resurrection body had no blood. It had flesh and bones, but it had no blood. It wasn't needed any longer. We're going to have one like that. The first coming is in humility. Your salvation, if you're truly saved, will be in humility. When you acknowledge you can't, but Jesus can and did. That you need him. I still have family members, my brother who's trying to work his way to heaven. I'm one of 8 children. 7 of them have accepted Christ as their Savior by profession of their own mouth. My brother, when I witness to him, he's trying to become a good Catholic. He's actually a communicant. He helps serve the Lord's table. He counts the money. He's not a Judas, but he counts the money. Okay, in his church. And I witnessed to him when he's become more involved in the Catholic Church because he's fearful. And I pray for him every day. I pray for him to come to know Christ as a Savior. His wife isn't saved. His oldest son is. Talk with him directly. But what you have here is that humility that's needed, and you see this in his entry. What is the normal fanfare when you think about it for kings to come into their city? There's a group before him announcing it. They're walking, and then there's horses with the soldiers with their spears, and they're announcing it, and they're opening the way. Have you ever, you even watched the United States of America when the president comes through? The fanfare, the cavalcade that's taking place that's ahead of him and behind him. And, of course, in America, our president now, because of what happened to Kennedy, he's in a bulletproof vehicle. Okay? And this is the fanfare for the president. He's not even king. You watch anything with in England with their royalty. What happens? Our Savior come in as a king. Now, they threw their clothing in palm branches in the roadways he came in, but he's coming in on a donkey. You understand that? He came in humility. That's not the way he'll come in the second time. Go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. The second advent is going to be totally different. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. But that's different than a donkey. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with which he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Israel was looking for that the first time. And it comes the second time. You know, the people, they spread their garments, they wave palm branches, you know what that is? That symbolized the triumph and victory. They shouted, Hosanna. You know what that basically means? Salvation now. It's coming, salvation now. even after all this, the Jews still didn't know who Jesus was and what he was going to do. The world doesn't know. You know what this teaches us? Not all those who proclaim him know him. Do you know how many religious sects in America claim Jesus Christ? I had to deal with a person out of the Worldwide Church Triumphant. It's a New Age group. I dealt with a person who was involved in Jesus only, which is not the Jesus of the Bible. You deal with the Mormons, you deal with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they do not worship the same Jesus. Do you understand that? Now they claim him, but they don't know him, and they're not known of him. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus' own words, look at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus proclaimed what that will is. To accept him. Going to do the will of the Father? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in the name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They're proclaiming, Hosanna, and highest, and the next thing you know, a few days later, they're in the mob crying out what? Crucify him. Crucify him. Go to Matthew 21 again. Do you ever realize he comes in on a Sunday morning? He comes in and by 6 o'clock Wednesday night, he has to be in the tomb. It's not Good Friday. It's not Maundy Thursday. All right? Because he says 3 days and three nights in the tomb. If he's out, okay, you got to remember, the evening and the morning were the first day. So by 6 o'clock Wednesday night, he had to be in the tomb. Because beginning at 6 o'clock Wednesday night, going to 6 o'clock Thursday night, was one of the high days. It was a high Sabbath day. So he had to be in the tomb because they couldn't do it on a Sabbath day. So we look at this thing, and you know, they're throwing these palm branches out for him. He goes into the temple. Look at verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. You want to know when you're in trouble, when the world's going to be against you, when you start messing with their ability to make money? And said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a what? A den of thieves. You can't get away from what's going on here. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were what? Because he was going to take out their place in the nation. That's what their excuse was. We have a government that says we will sacrifice things for the what? Greater good. It's not God's good. Amen? And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? See, he's getting, see, you have this, and this is on Sunday. He's come into the temple on the first day of the week. On the next day, it's Monday. And he begins to answer all the questions of the religious Jews. Go to verse, let me see here. 21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, that which ye have not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also that shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all these things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? They're questioning what he's doing. He taught in the temple, and okay, during the day, at night, he's on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing. If ye will tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. And he starts catching them, doesn't he? The baptism of John, whence is it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If ye shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. I was raised a French Roman Catholic. I started questioning. I had a friend witness to me, gave me a Bible, started reading the Bible. He also gave me a book by Dr. Ruckman called Rome, the Great Private Interpreter, and said, I'm tired of arguing with you. Read this book and argue with the scriptures that this man gives you. And it got me. And I'm turning around and I look at this thing and I go to ask the priest, Can you know if you die that heaven will be your home? And you know what the priest's answer was? You can't really know until you get there. First John 5, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Okay? Bible says you can know. I was involved in a religion that worshiped Jesus that says you can't know. Also said salvation was in the church and not in the person of Jesus Christ. Also said I had to do certain things. I've told a story before about my great uncle when he died. He got saved a half hour before he died. Got saved at 4 o'clock in the morning, stopped breathing by 4:30. But from about 6 o'clock at night until that time, he was afraid because he could see the devils of hell on the side of his bed. Knew he wasn't saved. He was a good Catholic. 6 days a week, go to Mass Catholic. Okay? Had no peace. And it wasn't until he accepted Christ as Savior. Most fun I ever had in that situation, my wife, she can tell you about to come back, I was on cloud nine. I've been up all night with him. I was on cloud nine because I watched him get saved. He prayed to receive Jesus Christ in French because my family background. He could say the Catholic Mass in French, English, and Latin. He had no peace. But he got it with Jesus Christ. That's why we must tell others about him. He taught in the temple. They were upset with what he was teaching and proclaiming. He got in the way of their pride, their traditions, their authority, and the money. For the love of money is the root. If you got the right Bible, in other Bibles, it's a root of all kinds of evil. No, the love of money is the root of all evil. They had planned to kill him, but they didn't want to do it on the feast of Passover, which was the common time that the Jews started Passover days. Look at Matthew 26, okay? Matthew 26, verse 4. And consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. I have to laugh because when I'm reading, I'm dyslexic people. I switch words all the time when my wife and I, we're reading, we do our devotions together. And I'll read and all of a sudden I switch the first letter of the word, the next word. But for the longest time, Judy will laugh at me. The word subtlety is like Mephibosheth to me. It comes out a whole lot of different ways, especially depending on how tired I am. That's just a personal thing. So to me, it's highlighted there, subtlety, okay? The B is silent. And kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Do you see it? Can't kill him on Passover, okay? Now go to Gospel of John, chapter 18. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be... They've plotted, twisted, and they're killing somebody. Do you understand this? They're murdering Jesus. Lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Isn't that amazing? You say, we'd never do that. You're living in a day and age where you're going to watch it. The time will come when believers, it hasn't happened in America yet, but it's being pushed. It's happening across, the persecution just across our northern border is amazing. In India, in Pakistan, in any of the Muslims world, being a Christian means you're going to take a stand and it may cost you your life today. You understand me? To be an open Christian in communist China means your life is in danger today. It's coming to America. It's coming to us. And they'll think they're doing the world a favor. Our college campuses, they scream at Christians who go onto the campuses to witness to them. You're the problem. You know why? Because when you declare truth, it convicts them of their sin. And so then we're the problem. If you're not a problem to the world, then you're part of it. If people don't know where you stand, you're part of the problem. If people don't know, how many people do you meet that eventually you have anything to do with that don't know you're saved? That ought not to be. Ought not to be. So they have to get him, crucify him, get him off the cross by 6 o'clock Wednesday night. This is what's going on with it, you know. Comes in on a Sunday. He's in the temple on a Monday. And by Wednesday, 6 o'clock, he's got to be in a tomb. On Tuesday night, the Passover dinner, the Last Supper, was eagerly anticipated by Jesus. He wanted this. Okay, Matthew 26, look at verse 17. And now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It hath been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it unto the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament. This is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Okay, he's there. And what was the Passover meal for? It was to remember what? "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Their exodus from their bonds and those who kept them in slavery in Egypt. And he says, "Eat, this is my body." So which thing you want to watch, you want to understand how many religions work, they will take that which the Bible teaches has to be allegory and make it literal. Or they'll take that which the Bible wants you to know literally and make it allegory. I got saved out of a church that has the priest stand up. He's at the altar, and he starts praying in Latin, okay? And he prays over, and he's holding up this little round disc. And when he prays over that, and then he prays over the cup. And when he does so, the teaching is that it turns literally into the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. It's called the doctrine of transubstantiation. There's only one problem with it. To do so then violates the direct commands of the Word of God that you are not to eat human flesh and drink human blood. Okay? So they make that part literally. If you read the Gospels, you'll find Jesus tells them that it's not literal. Okay, that's not the point I'm going to be teaching this morning, but this is what's happening. He's having the supper with them, and it's commonly called the Last Supper because he doesn't have another. They'd sit down to eat. Okay, he read down through this. Okay, and you have the things going on with him. And it says in verse 27, "He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them. Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which shall be shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung an hymn, they all went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written that I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus saith unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with him unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be very sorrowful and very heavy. And saith he unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face and praying, saying, "O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." Okay, and you turn around and they fall asleep. You have this thing going into place here. Judas is sent out to betray him. The supper had ended. They walk to the Mount of Olives. They get into the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus prays in the garden, knowing that his rest was about to happen. From verse 36 down to verse 56, I won't take the time to read it all. Okay, what's happening to them? They're coming to get him. He has been betrayed. This is Tuesday night. He's taken to the judgment hall. Do you understand what's taking place? They couldn't stay awake and pray with him. Verse 47, "And while he had spake, Judas, one of the 12, came with him, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, hold him fast. That betrayal with a kiss has been held over and used through the centuries since then. Okay, you do not want somebody from the mafia to come and give you a kiss. All right? That means it's time that you are going to die. He betrayed him with a kiss. Kiss is normally a symbol of what? Of love. Of love. How many people have ever felt betrayed? Someone has kissed them. Whether it be in their own home, whether it be relatives, whether it be friends, whatever it might be, and the betrayal happens. Something that is very intimate, something that is very pleasing, becomes something that is betrayal. That's mankind outside of Jesus Christ. I tell people all the time, they come to, Pastor, we love you. I'm not the senior pastor now, but for years, you're the one we're following. And I'll say, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ, just like the Apostle Paul. Because the Apostle Paul also could say, I know that in me, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform it, I don't always find. You understand that? We uphold the book, but the book is no good if we don't uphold Jesus. You can't get away from that. Jesus knew it was coming. They didn't. Okay, so now he's arrested. He's taken before the Jewish and Roman leaders. No one could find any fault. This is Wednesday morning. Okay. He's taken to the old high priest. Go to John 18:13. Gospel of John, chapter 18. Now he's taken, told Peter to put up his sword. And in verse 11, then said Jesus to Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. He's the former high priest. Okay, they take him to him. Examined of him. Go to Matthew 26 again. Verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests of the elders and all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death, but found what? They found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? And Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. The only time it's blasphemy is when it's what? Not true. God's way of dealing with people, it says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. You find it multiple times in the Old Testament, and that's what's needed. Mercy without truth is enablement to continue in the fallacy, in the false imagination of your sin. Truth without mercy brings condemnation, and there's a loss of hope. There has to be the balance of them. Jesus is the balance of mercy and truth for a lost world. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then they did spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with their palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came to him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them also, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied him with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thou speech bereath thee. He spoke like a Galilean, okay? He had an accent. Then began he to curse and to swear, that shows he's a fisherman, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He's come before Caiaphas. Now look at Matthew 27. And when the morning, verse 1, was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is this to us? See thou to that. And he came down and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because it's the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field is called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which is spoken by the prophet by Jeremy the prophet, saying, And they took 30 pieces of silver, and the price of him that was valued, of whom did the children of Israel value? That's from Zechariah 11:13. For sake of time, I'm not going to turn there. Direct prophecy of the 30 pieces of silver, and gave them to the potters for the potter's field as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and the elders, he answered nothing. And then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered to him, Never a word, insomuch the governor marveled greatly. Do you understand? Man. This is Wednesday morning. So he's been brought before Annas, and now Caiaphas, now Pontius Pilate. Now go to Luke chapter 23. Keep your hand there in Matthew 27, because we're coming back. Luke 23. Verse 6, when Pilate had heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at the time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod, with his men of war, set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. Back and forth. So far, Annas, Caiaphas, Pontius Pilate, King Herod. Now back to Matthew 27. These are called the Synoptic Gospels. They fit together, the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 27, verse 15. Now it was at the feast the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And when they had, they then had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that the envy they had delivered him. So he knew he wasn't what? Guilty. The more things change, the more they stay the same. When you don't want somebody to do something, and you have religious and political reasons to do so, if you want to know what I'm talking about with that, ask me afterwards. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whither of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They say, Barabbas. And Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, Let him be. I'm telling you something that happens, that when a person rejects Jesus Christ, another spirit comes. And you wonder why people can be so vehemently against the truth of the gospel and against the word of God. That's because it's another spirit. They went from declaring him the coming king Sunday to Wednesday morning, early, crucify him. See, this is all happening before 9 o'clock in the morning. He's getting sent back and forth between these people. And the governor said, What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. They answered all the people and said, His blood be upon us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Why scourge him? Other than it fulfilled prophecy, this was going to take place. He was mocked, spit on, struck with the palms of their hands, and they crucified him. Matthew 27, verse 27 through verse 56 is the crucifixion. I won't read it. It's from 9 a.m. Wednesday morning until 3 p.m. He's on the cross. In 6 hours' time, your Savior suffered an eternity of hell. He didn't just suffer a beating, a whipping, mocking, and crucifixion, piercing his hands and feet. He didn't just suffer a spear into the heart. Because on the cross, he fulfilled Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Father turned the back on the Savior, because this is where 2 Corinthians 5:21 comes in. For he, speaking of God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The judgment, the wrath of God upon man's sin was poured out on Jesus. He suffered an eternity of hell in 6 hours' time. Can I fully comprehend that? No. But I know this. When it says, what greater love can a man show than he giveth his life for his friends? But your memory verse today is, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what he suffered before he gave up the ghost. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They're spitting, they're mocking, they're beating. The thorns, they represent the curse of our sin that was put on Christ. Isaiah 53. You have Jewish friends? use the Tanakh road or the Isaiah road to witness to them, because they don't acknowledge the New Testament. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Isaiah 53, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid on him, what? The iniquity of us all. So then they beat him, they did this, they laid on him, and they led him to the crucifixion site, Golgotha or Calvary. Golgotha means the place of the skull. A man named Simon was pulled out of the crowd to help carry the cross because of the beating and the stuff. Jesus was too weak to carry the weight totally. And then he had about a 15-minute climb north of Jerusalem outside the city gates. That's about how long it took, 15 minutes. You know, they make it seem like, you watch the movie, it's like it's forever. No, he's being led out of the city and up the hill to the place of the cross, to where the cross was. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered where? Without the gate. He's taken out of the holy city. And he was nailed to the cross. He hangs there 3 hours, and then by noon it turns pitch black. A darkness that could be felt because the light of the world is being put out. The suffering hell is being poured upon him. So it went black from 12 to 3. Jesus dies. About this time, the Jews were killing their lambs for the Passover. The same time he's dying, the lamb was dying. I find it so interesting when you find out the Passover lamb, it tells you to take a lamb in Exodus 12. And then it says, make sure you take the lamb. And then it says, your lamb. See, not just any old lamb, a specific lamb. It has to be your lamb. They've taken a lamb, the sheep, the lambs to kill, and Jesus gives up the ghost. See, because they wanted him off the cross before the Sabbath feast started at 6 p.m. Turn to John chapter 19. We're coming to a close. John chapter 19. Look at verse 30. Jesus is on the cross. He says, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they brake not his legs. Fulfillment of prophecy. They buried him. You can find it in Matthew 27, 56, or 57 through 66. His body was prepared by a disciple named Joseph and also by Nicodemus. They wrapped him and he was put in a new tomb. Okay? A new tomb. Isaiah 53 and verse 9, it says, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. The next day, Thursday, what did they do? The Jews made sure the tomb's protected for the next 72 hours. They marked it, put a seal on it, put a guard on it. And in Matthew 12:40, It tells us, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. If you want, this is the woman's tied to the railroad tracks and the train is coming and there's no hope. He's sealed in the tomb. You want to see the rest of the story, you got to come next Sunday morning, because we have a hope that's based on something so much more than a dead Savior. Amen. Take a break.